edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists on books, movies, DVDs, collectibles, pretty much anything to do with the national pastime. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. The Israel Baseball League debuted in 2007 and shut down after just one season. Ari Alexenberg is one of the few ballplayers who can say they were a part of this historic project that brought hardball to the Holy Land. Like many who participated, Alexenberg had a dream, to put on a professional uniform and to draw a paycheck playing the game he loved his whole life. In this case, his life had been a little longer than many of his contemporaries. Alexenberg was in his mid-40s when he was one of the few selected to participate in the inaugural season. What makes Alexenberg's story particularly compelling is that he was raised in an Orthodox Jewish household, which meant he was not allowed to play ball on Friday nights and Saturdays. His parents thought his mania for baseball was narischkeit, Yiddish for foolishness, but he found a way to participate nonetheless in recreational and amateur leagues, and he kept his hand in and still hoped for his big break. Alexenberg, who is director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of New Hampshire, is the subject of Coming Home, a documentary currently under production. The title refers to his return to Israel, where he grew up in the town for whose team he played and coached, Petah Tikva. We spoke last week about his experiences in the Israel Baseball League.
Ari Alexenberg, you pitched for the Petah Tikva Pioneers in the only season of the Israel Baseball League. How did you find out about the IBL?
I don't remember who I originally found out about. I just remember being shocked when I did hear about it. I think I heard there were tryouts. I didn't quite believe it. I did some more research, and then my wife told me about it, and it started becoming a reality.
Now, you're in your mid-40s.
I'm 50 now.
Well, but at the time, you're
mid to
late 40s, which is probably old enough to be the father of some of these other guys who tried out there. It reminds me of the scene in the, if you ever saw the movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. It must have been like that kind of situation. What was that like for you?
It was interesting. First of all, my catcher on the Pioneers was 18 years old, which was the age of my son. So it's exactly, I could have been a father to a lot of these guys. But I was somewhat used to it because I still played in, leagues with a lot of college kids, and I'm often called grandpa. But I was still able to compete with them, so I keep playing, and I love the game. So it wasn't something, the age difference wasn't something that I wasn't used to. I was already accustomed to it because I kept playing ball at a competitive level at that age.
And tell me about the tryout situation. What was that like? Were there a lot of people show up? Were there some people? I've seen some video, and some people were really not serious contending
right.
to play.
I think the tryouts happened the way they always happen, whether it was IBL or these major league tryouts that they hold publicly. You get people who don't belong, who just want to give it a shot. And then you get, serious ball players too, obviously. This was an interesting, they had conducted tryouts all over the world. I mean, they had them in Dominican, they had them in Florida, they had them in Massachusetts. The first one was in Massachusetts, which is right down the block from me, which I actually didn't go to because I just thought it would have been such an absurdity for me to even attempt to do this. But when I heard the second tryouts were in Petah Tikva, which is where my family's from, so I was thinking, like, this is ridiculous. I should at least give it a shot because it's been a dream of mine forever. And the tryouts were interesting because I knew that I had to get noticed, and it's very easy to get, tryouts, you get 60 players coming, and you got, a very short span of time to try to stand out. And in a given hour or two, in a tryout, you could be off or on. It's hard to know, and if you really got one chance. I had gone all the way from the States to Israel for my tryout, so I wanted to make sure I stood out. And I just remember seeing Dan Duquette, who was the ex-GM of the Red Sox, and I was the general manager of the Orioles, but seeing him and just wanted to introduce myself so he'd see me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember him kind of thing. And I went over and I said, Amari Letzma, I came all the way from the States just for this tryout. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, buddy, you've come a long way, and just walked away. And I felt like, oh, my God, I'm just, it's not going to happen. But the tryouts went very well for me. I threw well. And there were tryouts for different position players and different tryouts for the pitchers. So I wasn't part of the pitchers, of course. I didn't try out for other positions. And it was great. It went well.
How did you find out that you'd made the team?
Well, it's interesting. During the tryouts, there were phases. You kept getting cuts and cuts and cuts. And I made it to the final cut, so I knew I was doing well. And then I also could sense at the end, they had sort of like a simulation game, which I performed well in. And when I walked back to the dugout when I was done, I sat in the dugout. Dan Duquette came over and sat next to me. And we started talking, taking notes. So I knew if I was written right off that it wouldn't have happened. So I had a very good feeling about that then. And then a couple of days later, I just got an email saying congratulations. You know, we'd like to offer you a contract.
And you were basically, all the players were thrown into a pool, and then they had the draft in New York.
Well, some people were drafted. Because I had come from Petah Tikva and my whole family was there, I had requested to be put on the Petah Tikva Pioneers, and they accepted that request. So I wasn't in that pool.
And you weren't only a player, you were also a coach.
Right. I was also a coach, and it's partly because I was older, and I think in that conversation with Dan Duquette, I had expressed, that I'm a student of the game. And I've been studying pitching, and I think he took that into account and asked if I'd be a coach too.
Now, what were the playing conditions over there like compared to what you encountered as a recreational player in the States?
Well, as a recreational player, you play as a recreational player on anything you got. But as far as professional level fields, we had three fields in Israel. Two of them were sort of created to become baseball fields. One was literally created from a field. The other one was a softball field made into a baseball field. They were absolutely atrocious fields. There weren't even high school level fields here, Then there was one field that was phenomenal. It was a superb condition. It was a real field. That was the one that was really the only serious baseball field, I think, in Israel at that time.
And what did your family think about your excursion?
I had total support from my wife, always did, which was tremendous. My parents were instrumental in making it happen, too. I mean, it was a struggle for me because I always loved baseball. I always loved sports. And growing up in an observant Jewish family, there's not much respect for that. So I was always wanted to do more with sports than I could. As I got older, it wasn't sort of a childhood dream. It was something I was always serious about, and I think my parents realized in many ways it was a missed opportunity for me. So my biggest obstacles of sports were pretty much my parents, which ironically, when there was a Shomer Shabbat, league in Petah Tikva, my father was actually called and said, I'm going to pay for your ticket. You have to come and try out. So it was really, I had tremendous support from them, which I never had before. My mother still doesn't understand why grown men chase balls, but and my father still is not a sports addict, but he actually a sports addict for sure not. He doesn't appreciate sports, but I think now he understands my appreciation for sports. So he was supportive in this league, in this endeavor, which was always difficult for him.
Now, unfortunately, your team didn't do that well in the standings, but what...
Not to say the least. It was very difficult.
Who was the manager of your team?
Kenny Holtzman.
And he kind of left before the season was over, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Kenny was a real... it's kind of funny. He was one of my idols growing up, and it was one of... the great parts of the story for me was I literally have a scrapbook with a full page of Kenny for as a kid, and here he was going to be my manager, lefty Jewish pitcher. It turned out that he was a very, very difficult person to play for. He was difficult for our team, difficult for the league, difficult for me, and I was also a coach. So I think in reality, let me just say this. The team was 5 wins and 27 losses with Kenny. We were 4-5 when Kenny left, so we were a 500 team at the end. That really speaks volumes. It's always hard to put your performance on a manager, but in many respects, we had a pretty talented team that struggled a lot, and he was the wrong manager, and I think he knew it, and that's why he ended up leaving.
So overall, was the experience what you expected?
Yes and no. I mean, I was, because of my older age, I was very aware of what was going on. I always thought it was interesting when I was in the dugout with a 21-year-old. I thought, you know, in 15 years, I'll be sitting in an office somewhere, you know, dreaming about, like, wow, did I really do that? Not really, probably saying to themselves, I wish I appreciated it more. I was very cognizant of what real life was like and that this was a fantasy and an amazing opportunity. So in that regard, you know, there's nothing like getting up every day playing baseball, having people, you know, paying to come see you play and getting a paycheck for doing it, particularly being in Israel at my age, you know, and having the Red Sox GM. It was all just unrealistic, you know, but it actually happened. So it was, in that regard, it was tremendous. I learned a lot as far as, you know, trying to, as I was 45, but I was really a 12-year-old having Kenny as a manager and trying to listen to everything he says and being under his thing. I wish I could have done that differently. I think I would have performed a lot better. I think the team would have done a lot better. If I had that experience, I was truly a rookie. You know, I had to learn a lot. I think the team did. And it was a very short season. And you know, a lot happens in a short season that isn't necessarily indicative of the full picture of abilities. So.
Now, there are rumors that they're trying to start up the league again in a different incarnation. Do you think you'd be interested in being involved in that in some way? Just pretty much, you know, this is my shot, I did it, I'm glad, let's move on.
Well, as far as, you know, it's hard for me to leave it, and it's something that's very close to my heart, it's something I'm very passionate about. So you never know down the road. I always keep it open. As in some capacity getting involved, even on, you know, the marketing business level or something. But I've sort of sat back at this point, though I often am tempted to step in. I haven't done so yet. So
it must be a pretty cool feeling. I mean, you're included on the Baseball Reference website. That's like the internet equivalent of the Baseball Encyclopedia. I mean, if you're in it, you're official.
Right. Yes, I have my tiny bit of, I think I hit the professional levels at the lowest level possible, but I've actually got in that door, so it feels good to have been able to do that, you know. And I think there is an added component of not just being able to play pro ball, but to actually have done it in Israel, and that was like my biggest obstacle that prevented me from doing it, was the fact that I was a religious Jew and I lived in Israel. It's just literally ridiculous. You couldn't have written this script in a cornier way, you know.
Speaking of script, you're working on a movie now, Coming Home, about your experiences over there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I got signed to play in the IBL, I had a lot of press because of my age, and so I got a lot of articles, and I don't even remember how this person found out, but he was involved. He was a guy named Rafi Landau, had spoken to my wife. He was a cameraman for films, and said, it's an amazing story. He would love to connect me with this guy, Steve Singer, who's a local communications, he owns a communication, he's a local guy, and he makes commercials for, you know, he's not a movie maker, but he had done also, I think he had made a couple movies, but mostly he's an advertising firm. We've done commercials for Apple and insurance companies, big stuff. And he wanted to meet and try to see if he's interested in doing the movie. And we had we had an interview and talked to him about the story, and he was all over it. So he essentially, you know, got, you know, a crew together and started filming a lot here. Went with a few people to Israel and filmed in Israel too. And it's just been a while now trying to pull a movie together. So I'm not really involved beyond being in the movie. But as far as, you know, making and putting it together, is this guy, Steve Singer, who's become a friend. And he's really the force behind the movie. But I'm trying to help do what I can right now to try to market it anyway.
So who else is involved in this? Is he the one you mentioned being involved
with? He's the producer, and he hired now Eric Ewers, who actually, he's worked with Ken Burns for 20 years. He's won a bunch of Emmy Awards, and he's the prime editor of this movie. So he's put together this trailer that I put on the web that you've seen, and he's sort of put together the bulk of the movie. It's not done yet. We have to raise some final funds to do it. But he's involved in that. It's really just, at this point, Stephen, the editor, the camera work is done, though I think they want to do some more filming, follow-up stuff. That's what I've heard, so that's why they need some more money.
And when it's done, what length will this be, like a short documentary, a full feature documentary?
I think it's a full, I think they're shooting for an hour documentary. And they're talking of possibly trying to talk to Hollywood about the script and send to them some version of it. So.
But it's planned as a nonfiction documentary.
The documentary, yeah, is really about my story of growing up and getting a chance to play. There's also a great component to the story. Of course, there's the high level that's just the fantasy of a 45-year-old. You know, one day you're working in a technology firm, who would have told you a year later that, you know, the general manager of the Red Sox is going to sign you to play professional baseball in Israel, and your childhood idol is going to be your manager. That's a great story. And then, of course, there's the father and the wife who's supportive that was always difficult, that kind of stuff. But beyond that, there's really great, for me, which is really a story that because I couldn't play as a child, my buddy and I, Yitzi, we would wish we could put on uniforms and play with our contemporaries in Little League and stuff like that. And but we couldn't because of our religious religion. So what we did was we literally created this Ari and Yitzi Baseball Association, and we documented every game. We'd go around playing, you know, as much as we can, and we had created our own league because we couldn't belong in other leagues. And we just literally built playing, you know, plays. And things like we documented our stats. We had created our own league because we couldn't belong to the traditional leagues. And that in itself was just a lot of fun. And I think playing professional ball at the end sort of culminated. It sort of brought that whole childhood fantasy, all that playing and going from, it made it real. It sort of legitimized our attempt to try to become official, you know? So anyway, that's pretty much what the movie's all about.
So, and you're still playing?
I am. I had a massive shoulder surgery a couple of years ago. And so I just started coming back last year, and I've been working out this winter, and I'm getting up there again. So I will be playing two different leagues this year.
Hey, good. Well, good luck with that. Harry Luxemburg, thanks you very much for talking with us today, and good luck.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And that was my chat with Ari Luxemburg, former pitcher and coach for the Petah Tikva Pioneers of the now-defunct Israel Baseball League. For more information on the documentary Coming Home, visit Ari Luxemburg's Facebook page. And that's our show for this week. Tune in again next week when our guest will be Molly Lawless, author and artist of Hit by Pitch, Ray Chapman, Carl Mays, and The Fatal Fastball. It's a graphic novel-type telling of the very tragic tale. Future guests will include Tim Wendell, author of Summer of 68, The Season That Changed Baseball in America Forever, and Rob Fleeter, editor of Damn Yankees, 24 major league writers on the world's most loved and hated team. Well, the books and book news are coming in fast and furious these days as we approach opening day, so be sure to visit Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com for daily updates, including reviews and author appearance news. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear them. Please send them to Ron at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com or leave a comment on the page. Thanks, everybody.
Look out, Gabe.